All right, welcome to week 7 here on AFC North Talk. I am Tony Serino. I will represent the Pittsburgh Steelers for today's show. We also have Ace Boogie, he's from New Stripe City. He's our Cincinnati Bengals insider. Can only shoot for us on the Cincinnati Bengals. Ace, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Glad to be here as usual.
We also have Quincy Carrier. You can find him on YouTube. Search Quincy Carrier representing the Cleveland Browns. Quincy, how are you?
Good. And Ace, I got to get a picture of you and Zim Hude together, put it together with Adrian Wojnarowski and Shams, and put the caption on Twitter. Y'all know if y'all a Bengal fan, these are the same guys.
Absolutely. We also have Europe's biggest Ravens fan with us, SDG Sports, Sonny, representing the Baltimore Ravens. Sonny, thought you had a bye week this week. You don't. The Ravens making big moves today.
Look, my guy EDC, he's like, we have a bye. I'm going to be borderless this week. Let's just make the moves. Let's get it happening. And hey, I'm ready to talk about it.
All right, let's start right there. Let's start with the two. It's two big moves today, okay? Because they added Dez Bryant to their practice squad. It's a weird move. But I think the bigger move, and the one that actually is exactly. It's one of those things like he can still play. Okay. The big move, the one that people care about. Yannick Ngakoue traded from the Minnesota Vikings to the Baltimore Ravens. Remember, the Jaguars traded Ngakoue to the Jaguars for a second round pick earlier this season. So this is the second time Ngakoue has been traded in like the last 60 days. But it was a great trade, Sonny, giving up a third rounder and a conditional fifth round pick for a guy who's already, I think, put up 5 sacks this year. He could be certainly a wrecker in the pass rush. Give me your thoughts on the trade.
So let me first start with the Dez. The move with Dez, practice squad, I think what the Ravens are looking for is that 50-50 guy that we don't have, right? Mark Andrews, in theory, is that guy for us. But who is your outside big wide receiver that you can just throw to fade? Or we don't have one. We just don't have one, right? So that's what they think Dez could potentially bring to this team at some point. Not against the Steelers. Maybe not until week, 13, 14, whenever he's ready, right? Maybe for the playoff run, if anything. But it's a minor move, practice squad. That's like, let's see what you have. We'll bring you. We'll see you week to week. And if you're ready, we'll put you in there, right? But the bigger move is Yannick, right? But I was shocked. This is a guy that the Ravens fans wanted in the offseason. Vikings traded for him, right? Second round pick, as you said. And we go and give a third, which in theory will be a late third if you think Baltimore Ravens are going to be a playoff team. So at that point, it's going to be a late third.
Debatable at this point, but okay.
No. There's no debate that the Ravens will make the playoff. We can debate if you want, if you win in the division or not. But it's not debatable that the Ravens is going to make the playoff. Anyway, a late third for what the Vikings seem to be sending an early second to the Jaguars. I mean, I don't even know how this happened. I mean, I was shocked. Now, my caveat with Yannick has been always this, for the Ravens specifically, and the Ravens fans that follow me hate that I say this, but I think Yannick Ngakoue is a perfect 4-3 DN. We don't play a 4-3, we play a 3-5. We usually don't get out of that 3-5. Now, when we rush 5, can he be the outside backer for those specific positions? Yes, but at that point also you have to be leery that now you are showing your cars all the time. Usually our outside linebackers are guys that can rush the passer. Example, Judon, Bowser, and Ferguson drop back in coverage, rush the passer, set the edge. They are asked more than just go get the quarterback. With Yannick right now, I want to see if that's something that he can do, right? Because how interesting, where is he going to fit? Are they going to kick him inside? Are they going to have him in the outside? I think it's a great upgrade. I think he's a great talent. I'm hoping he's a great scheme fit, but that was my concern on the offseason. Now, I'm excited because what perennial Pro Bowl we have? We haven't had one on the outside backer since Terrell Suggs and Luvernay. So saying that, I think that helps Judon. It helps the rest of the line. Campbell had great game, and Campbell and Yannick know each other from Jacksonville. The one year the Jacksonville was good, I know Tony remembers that year.
I was there. I saw that one live. I know all about it.
So I think that's what the Ravens want to replicate, right? Let's just put a strong D line and then hopefully we don't have to blitz, because if we don't have to blitz as much and we can generate pressure with 4 or 5 with our strong secondary, this defense can be a big, big problem for the whole AFC and the NFL.
All right, before we get everyone else's takes on this, I do want to point out we have Super Chat enabled. We already got one. We got one before we even went live today. So shout out to Sean Barron, who gave us a $5 donation. Really appreciate that. We also have another one from the Trib. He says, ED added again, Yannick, Dez, maybe he can work with Boykin. Thought we needed a pass rusher and a number one wideout. This Ngakoue helps. Hi, guys. I think certainly Ngakoue helps, no doubt about it.
Let me say something before also. Yeah. EDC, which is the our general manager, he said this is not going to be our final move. So he also, after getting Yannick, said that. So that was just a caveat. Go ahead.
You think that's in relation to the cap space, though? Because they do have to work something out as far as the cap goes. I mean, I think they only have $5 million in cap space, and Ngakoue is going to make a little more than that. So
Ngakoue, I think, is going to get basically what we have in cap space.
Okay.
If they make another move, then definitely they need to figure something out. But I think they want to make the push. I think if there's another move to be happen, is either one of two things. Is for a slot corner, because obviously our slot corner got injured, and the backup slot corner also went to IR today. And a receiver. And for me, it has to be more of that guy that can be a chain mover, 50-50 insult threat, is what the Ravens are missing. We have speed, but we don't have that guy that you can, like I said, I always say to my Ravens guys, I said, we're missing our Anquan Boldin.
Yeah.
If you guys remember Anquan Boldin, Flacco was like, do this cover. I'm going to throw it there because he's going to fight for that ball and catch the ball. And Steve Smith wasn't that big, but Steve Smith will fight for that 50-50 ball and come up with it. That's what this team is missing. They don't have that greedy, like, tough guy that just makes the play. And that's what they need.
We had another super chat here. Lou Thompson gave us $5. Thank you so much. If you want to have your super chat read on the show, go ahead. That is enabled right now. Ace, want to get your take on this because we were talking before the show. Does feel like a bit of vindication for us here on Ace. Definitely. Of course, if you'll remember back in the day, we argued with Sonny about whether or not pass rush by committee
was a real
strategy. Seems like Eric DaCosta, Ace, might be agreeing with us that you might need an elite edge rusher in this league.
Yeah, and I mean, there's nothing against that because the Baltimore Ravens, they've always been aggressive when it comes to going for it, right? And that's what ED did. You know, the regime before that did that as well. And they're keeping up with it. Like we talked about, anytime we mention a weakness with Baltimore, it's always been pass rush and secondary receivers. I mean, they went and got Dez Bryant. They signed him to the practice squad. That's been something that a lot of people have been kind of using with COVID and everything going on. Since they did that, the one thing that I wonder is, like, if you sign Dez Bryant to your practice squad, and let's just say the Steelers or something are like, hey, we're going to take Dez Bryant off of your practice squad. Is that possible? Like, can they sign him away?
Oh, yeah. If they want to sign him to the active roster, yeah.
They have to be the active.
Hey, guys, bring the playbook with you, though.
So I think that this is a great move for them, especially we heard them bring in Dez this offseason. We wondered if he was going to get any kind of shot there. I mean, these are great moves, and the fact that he has more moves planned is crazy. And I think me and Tony were talking before the show, and we were like, I asked him, I was like, has this ever happened before? Has a star player been traded and then traded the same season? We can't seem to think of a time that that's happened. So this was a great move by the Ravens. I think Sonny makes a great point. He might not be a fit, but I think he's better even if he's not a perfect fit. I mean, as long as this guy can rush the passer, which we've seen in the past he can do, I think this is a great move for the Ravens.
Quincy, what about you? Your thoughts on Ngakoue and Dez Bryant to the Ravens?
You know, my first takeaway from this is I know everybody has like the way to be positive about it. And, you know, I'm not about to be a contrarian in the total sense here, but I know Tony used to do a show. He still does a drop on a podcast called Locked On. But the Ravens, they're locked in. This is it for them. These next 2 years, this is their window. It's Super Bowl or bust these next 2 years for the Baltimore Ravens. And that's really what it is. You know, then that's when Lamar's going to come up on his contract. He's going to get his fifth year option and all this stuff, all this money on their books. It ain't going to become manageable. And I will give Eric DaCosta credit. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's going to be able to handle this situation. But because of the Earl Thomas situation with the cap, he does have his hands a little tied here. This isn't necessarily the smoothest cap situation in the world that he's trying to deal with. I sound good, right? Because it sounds a little funky.
Yeah,
right?
No, you're good.
Okay. But yeah, this isn't necessarily the smoothest cap situation in the world to kind of handle when it comes to the next few years, especially when Lamar looked like he about to get buku bucks. Like, you're going to have to throw Patrick Mahomes, you know, Deshaun Watson money, at least Deshaun Watson. This guy won the MVP in his second year, you know. So that money's going to be crazy. Crazy. You're already paying Marcus Peters pretty good money. Matt Judon's pretty much gone after this year. I think that's that's done deal, right?
Yep.
And then you paid you already paid Marlon Humphreys a good amount of money. And look, I'm not against any of those deals. You got some good defensive players on rookie deals. Deshaun Elliott, I don't know where he's at on his rookie deal, but if he turns out to be decent, he's going to be up soon. Same thing with Chuck Clark, who's on a third round deal, which is probably up soon within the next few years. And then you look at all this money to Yannick Ngakoue. Now, I get the sense that you guys are convinced that Yannick Ngakoue is an elite-level pass rusher. I still think that there is a ways of a gap between him and all the other pass rushers at the top of this division when you look at, you know, Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt. Obviously, that's kind of an unfair bar to put somebody at, but he is making a good amount of money. Mm-hmm. That they're going to be – they traded for that contract. And it is kind of concerning. Like, can we point out they did the double sell, right? Like, that has to be – like, I get that people might just think Minnesota's incompetent at this point, but they have not struck me as somebody who is like if Bill O'Brien did this, I wouldn't blink an eye at it, right? Because we know that guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
But this is kind of weird, right? This is a guy – this seems like it's too good to be true that they're willing to sell you this on this cut. Is there something going on? Did the Ravens somehow, like, get – not a lemon in total, but is there something up with Yannick Ngakoue that the Ravens aren't fully aware of and that they might end up coming to bite him in a year or two? Maybe they don't believe in him. Maybe they see something in the tape. I don't know what it is, but that has to be, you know, I'm just saying healthy skepticism about that is probably healthy. Other than that, like on paper, it's a great deal. You know, you got unique, like you got Calais Campbell and Yannick Ngakoue for incredibly low prices here.
Bargain basement, clearance. They got him on clearance.
Yeah, And I don't know if y'all ever played Madden against the Ravens. Calais Campbell is a Greek god among men in Madden. This man is always in the backfield. He's not that in the, but this man is Aaron Donald 2016 times 100. I hate playing the Ravens on Madden. But let me get my Madden rants and save that for Twitch. But I think the cap situation is going to be interesting. If Unique and Ngakoue going to be worth the cap trouble you're going to be in with him coming down the line, I don't know. I don't necessarily think he's all that great. I don't think he's somebody who's going to be a consistent double-digit sack guy going forward. I think he's always going to be in that 8 to 10 like Olivier Vernon range when Olivier Vernon was decent. You know, not the current Olivier Vernon. But I just have a little bit of hesitancy and concern about the long-term aspect of this. But for the Ravens, they're not thinking about long-term. Next two years, they're trying to win a Super Bowl. This year, next year, it's Super Bowl or nothing. That's what they got.
And
so
I
applaud them for making the move. I'm just wondering what this is going to mean for them long-term.
Yeah, I think that you're right. I mean, I think this, you know, long-term, there may not be a long-term to this deal. I know some Ravens fans feel like, hey, they can get this deal done. They can sign Ngakoue in the long-term. But I think this deal is set up in such a way that it makes sense for them if they can't. Right, I mean, if you trade away a third and a conditional fifth away for Yannick Ngakoue, and then you let him go in the offseason, and he goes and signs a big deal elsewhere, well, you're going to get that third-round pick back as a compensatory pick a year later. So you're essentially just giving up a pick in 2021 to get it back in 2022. I think this is a really, really smart deal for the Ravens. I really do. You know, this is a case where a general manager in the Ravens, this is why they're so smart and they stay atop, you know, or right around contention pretty much every year, is because this is a GM who's not results oriented. You know, like we joke about the idea of, you know, pass rush by committee and you can't, you know, it can't be a strategy, but it has worked for the Ravens. The Ravens are considered right now amongst the best defenses in the league, and they're getting to the quarterback with regularity. You know, they're getting to the quarterback, I think, like I said, second in the league, 30% pass rush or pressure rate in the NFL right now, and they don't have a dominant pass rusher. So you could say, hey, this is working. Let's just keep doing it. No reason to go out and get a Yannick Ngakoue. But the question is, how are they getting that pressure? And the answer to that question is they have to blitz. They have to blitz a lot. You know, they're blitzing at the same rate as the Pittsburgh Steelers are right now. Remember, the Steelers don't consider a five-man rush even a blitz at all, right? I mean, they consider a six-man rush a blitz. And yet the Ravens are blitzing at that same rate. So is that really sustainable for them? I think that's what Eric DaCosta is thinking about right now. Is this a sustainable way for us to play defense, especially when, not to beat, you know, the Washingtons of the league, but when we're going to face the Tennessees and the Kansas Cities and the Pittsburghs in January, is that sustainable for us? I think the thing that stood out to me here, this stat was pointed out by ESPN today. Since the start of 2019, the Ravens have produced the fewest sacks when rushing just four. So if they don't blitz, they cannot get to the quarterback. Something we talked about earlier this year, right? And we talked about that, the loss to Kansas City one. I mean, they just could not get pressure unless they blitz. And so, and there's another case of them, by the way, of admitting a mistake. I mean, Jalen Ferguson was a third round pick who, you know, there was high hopes that he could develop this year. That hasn't happened. And so, hey, you know what? We admit that mistake and we move on from it and we get a guy who can come in and play right away. And I think it's a good move for the Ravens overall. Quincy, go ahead.
Does this mean I can officially start sleeping on Tyus Bowser, Raven fans?
Yeah, like,
is it time? I can take that nap.
Yeah,
all right. I'm about to take that
Aaron
nap.
Aaron DaCosta put him in hibernation with this move. So yeah, you can sleep on it.
I've been waiting for that one.
Let me say this, a couple of things.
Yeah.
Yannick's his deal's for a year. So after this year, Quincy, if they don't want him back, there's no cap implication with him. If for some reason they decide to extend him, I think right now the team's biggest concern is Stanley. As Tony pointed out, if Yannick goes because he's commanding big bucks, essentially you're going to get that third back. I mean, and that's the strategy here. I think what happened with Minnesota is, this is just my opinion, I think Minnesota sees themselves that we ain't going to make the playoffs this year. Minnesota is in cap hell. The Ravens are not in cap hell really next year. We will be when Lamar's deal is up. Minnesota's cap hell now. So they need picks. They thought, okay, we need that piece because they thought they can compete this year. And I thought that was smart because they went deep in the playoffs, right, last year. They beat the Saints, the same with Super Bowl favorites. They beat them in the playoffs last year. So they're like, okay, let's bring a piece. The piece didn't work. I thought they were at least trying to get a second so they can get what they gave. But at this point, they probably don't have the money for Ngakoue. I'm not sure the Ravens will have the money either, but they're making the push saying like, well, if he leaves for big money, we might get that third back. This year's a $6 million cap hit. And the case of the other players that you mentioned, Clark got extended last year for $3 million per year for the next 2 years. And then Joker is on his third year, and he was a fifth-round pick, so he's cheap, but he will be, if he plays better in 3 years, he'll be up. Marcus Peters, he is a free agent when Lamar is due to make the payday. So there's a couple contracts that line, like, good, you know, as Lamar is going to be making the bucks. There's Calais Campbell gets off the books, Marcus Peters gets off the books, which means the EDC and the front office needs to draft well. But that's the big thing. When you have a quarterback that you pay that money, you have to keep drafting well. Last year's draft, the case with Ferguson, I was going to say Tony, I at least, and this is just my philosophy, I'm very hard with rookies and second-year guys when they're the first-round pick. Ferguson was the last pick or near the last pick in the third round. Those guys, for me, the first 2 year is developmental. Third year is when I want to see production. Ferguson is in the first quarter of the second year of being a late third round pick. Same thing with Miles Boykins. Now, Miles Boykins has disappointed me more because I don't see effort. With Ferguson, I have seen progression, right? So Ferguson, yes, I think for this year, he might not be producing as what they wanted, but I don't think you can say, okay, he's done. Because again, late third round pick. But that's when Yannick can breach that gap, especially if they don't bring him back. You put Yannick, bring him. He can help develop the young guys and give them a break as the other guys go.
Yeah, it's certainly a good addition. Ace, go ahead.
The other thing that I just found out is Yannick is also went to college in Maryland. So he's familiar with the area.
Yeah.
He should be familiar with the fan base. This guy has 4 sacks on the season. He's tied for ninth currently. He's 25 years old. I mean, there's not 25. Much that you can – and the fact that you can basically – you got him for a bag of chips if he leaves and you get a compensatory pick. It's just crazy. I mean, you have to take your hats off to them. I wish Duke Tobin was taking notes, but he can't even figure out how to trade John Ross. So,
yeah, go ahead.
Real quick before we go in there, I just got like a non-football thing to ask. How did he, like, is he going to have to pay for like 4 apartments this year? You know what I mean? He started in Jacksonville. Yeah, he probably got a little loft out there. He was drafted. He's undrafted, dude. You know what I mean? So he's probably like, yo, rent. Definitely during the offseason. And then he gets traded to Minnesota. They give him a little 1-year deal. He's like, I can rent something nice. You know what I mean?
He's got a short-term lease. Probably got a short-term lease.
So he's from, is he from DC? So he should have some family. Let's hope he has family up there.
Dog, you ain't trying to live with family. You live
in a roommate.
The lifestyle. If you played in Ace, if you played in the NFL, you out here trying to have your auntie, you know, wake you up in the morning. Hey, baby.
If I have to pay, well, I mean, I'm not an NFL player, obviously, but if I had to pay three different rents and stuff like that, then yeah, hey, let me stay here for a few months until I can get another space.
NFL player walking through the door, $12 million a year. Yeah. Hey, yo, I just need somewhere to hang my head while I'm transitioning, man.
All right, we did get another super chat here from Kodex, who says he's a Ravens fan. Super Bowl or bust, which teams would give the Ravens the most trouble during the next 2 years during this window? Chiefs. I think the Chiefs amongst them.
Chiefs.
Yeah.
Kansas City.
Yeah. I mean, it's Kansas City. The Chiefs might be one of the
Kansas City. Have they beaten Kansas City yet?
Yeah, I was going to say the Chiefs are the team to beat.
The right? Titans.
Yeah, the Titans are also an up and coming team, right?
Well, I mean,
is there another up and coming team in the
NFC? They up and came last year.
No, I have. Oh, do you want me to pull up the super chats from last week? You have them written down. Sonny,
the question is in the next 2 years, not only this year.
Ben's under contract next year. Ben's under contract. Don't forget, Ben's under contract.
I'm not sleeping on Ben. Yeah. Ben's good till he's 45. Yeah. He's got Brady power.
He's going to be here forever. I mean, Ben's never leaving, right? Ben, we'll be doing this show in seven years.
Ben's not letting that money get away.
By the way, to make up for my 6-10 prediction this year, I will be predicting that the Steelers will go no less than 12-4 for the next 6 years.
I appreciate that. And we accept, and we in Steeler Nation accept your apology, Quincy. Yep. All right, let's move on here. We have some good games to preview in the AFC North. Only two games this week because the Ravens are on a bye, and the marquee matchup this week is between the Browns and Bengals, the rematch from week, what was that, week two, a Thursday night game. But before we get to that, let's talk about my Steelers. Steelers play the Tennessee Titans, the first road game for the Steelers since opening day. So, Quincy, let's start with you. I want to get your take on Steelers-Ravens. As two undefeated teams, 5-0 versus 5-0. How do you see this one playing out?
Tony, is
Steelers-Titans.
Are you overlooking Titans. This game?
What was that?
Are you overlooking this game?
Am I overlooking it? Steelers-Titans.
You said Steelers-Ravens.
Oh, did I see Steelers-Ravens? There you go.
I see. You have it
classic
on
Mike Tomlin's interview with Dungy. I'm doing the same thing. Overlooking the Titans.
All right, so the Steelers looked really good last week. I think that's fair to say, right? I think that's fair to say. The Steelers looked absolutely good. Now, they're going to be playing a much better version. Well, not a much better, but a better version of what the Cleveland Browns are, essentially, right? That's exactly what Mike Vrabel does. He's more physical. They're going to have their best running back in Derrick Henry. And you know what? I was going to go to Titans here all season. I was picking Titans here. But then I saw the All-22 film of what Cam Hayward did to this Browns offensive line. And you know what? Yeah, that's going to be a problem on Sunday for the Tennessee Titans, because I actually think the Browns have a better offensive line than the Tennessee Titans do right now. And Cam Hayward, you guys have to watch this. I wish I would have had the clips up here, but he absolutely manhandled just like Joe Batonio. There's one play where he just one-arms Joe Batonio right into Baker Mayfield. Joe Batonio is like the best left guard in football, so in some people's opinion, and he just absolutely ragdolled him. That's how good Cam Hayward's playing, and if he plays that well, he's going to ground Derrick Henry enough so that the linebackers can get there, enough so that Stephon Tuitt can get there, enough so Tyson Alualu can continue to look like an all-pro player. When
Aaron Donald out there. He's Aaron Donald. I mean,
let's calm down. Let's calm down about that one.
That's not me. That's PFF saying that.
He's the last fat nose tackle you guys had there that we always got good PFF grades. I don't even remember him, but he's good, right? Hargrave, right? But
Javon Hargrave was okay.
Yeah, so... if they can stop the run here, and if that secondary plays anywhere like they did last week and that pass rush is there, I just don't – it didn't work last week with the Browns at all, and I just don't see it working for Tennessee. Now, look, with my luck, Tennessee's going to go in there and roll them. It's just going to prove the Browns just weren't that good. But I think Pittsburgh's going to –
Do it.
I'm predicting a 6-0 from
one. That makes one.
I can't do it.
That's okay. All right.
Ace. Ace, talk me out of this. Ace, talk me out of this.
All right. So,
do you also have the Steelers going 6-0 this week?
I'm not sure, man. We're gonna have to get through this first. We're gonna have to get through this first. So for me, the thing that I like about the Titans, I think that a lot of people saw their story last season, and you kind of thought that it was just some kind of luck, right? It was just their season, right timing. Mariota goes to the bench. Tannehill comes in. Tannehill goes on a tear, and it kind of like I personally kind of got Ryan Fitzpatrick vibes, right? Like he's gonna come in, they're gonna do good, they're gonna go, you know, to the playoffs, win, and then next season he's gonna fall flat on his face. Ryan Tannehill right now is the fourth rated quarterback in Pro Football Focus. I cannot believe that right now. According to Pro Football Focus, he has been elite. Now, his last game, he did have some issues. He threw his first interception of the season, which is crazy because it's only one. But when you look at this team, normally it's been built off of a tough defense that's really good and Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, right? Sprinkled in with some A.J. Brown there. It's kind of morphed into more of an offensive team in terms of talent-wise. You got Jonnu Smith there. You've got Corey Davis in the contract year who was seeming like he was on the John Ross bus train but has kind of revamped himself in a contract year. And then you got Humphreys in the slot. So they've been very solid, and it presents a different kind of challenge for the Pittsburgh Steelers run defense, because no one wants to tackle Derrick Henry, like absolutely no one. And that is, I think, the key is who can stop Derrick Henry. No one has been able to do it so far. Even that Jacksonville defense that Yannick was on, Saxonville, he steamrolled them a couple years ago with that crazy super long run. And even with that, I cannot say definitively that the Titans will beat this Steelers team, because the Steelers are built on defense. And what worries me is the Titans defense has not been as consistent as they have been in years past. And when you're going to get up against those weapons that the Steelers have, it's going to be a tough day for them. And we have to see how this game plays out. I think this game will be close, but unfortunately, I have to get an edge to the Steelers.
This is the day. This is a weird day on AFC North Talk. Sonny, we have two people predicting a Steeler win.
Oh, I didn't predict yet.
I'm holding out. I'm gonna let the jury deliberate. All right. Sonny, we have one and a half, let's say, predictions for the Steelers to win. What about you?
This is the big thing. Look, the Tennessee Titans are a very good team. They're a very good team.
Yeah.
But I'm concerned when the Tennessee Titans gave up 30 points to the Jaguars, 30 points to the Vikings, 36 points to the Texans, right? So three teams, they had given 30-plus points. A Steeler offense that I think is better than all those three teams. Not only that, they just lost Luan for the rest of the year, so their left tackle is out. That's correct. Means Dupree or T.J. Watt's
going to play on that side. Yeah.
Okay. And their right tackle is not the greatest because they took Coughlin out of the team and he's in the Browns. So now they have two weak tackles against two great pass rushers, right? The only way I can see – so different from the guys, the only way I can see the Titans winning this game is if Derrick Henry runs for a buck 50 and controls time of possession. Because if Tannehill has to throw – this is not against Tannehill. It's just – my tackles, I don't think those tackles can handle the pass rush from the Steelers. So I think this is a game that the Steelers are going to win. Again, the only way they can lose is if just Henry says, yo, I'm just going to take it, put it on my shoulder. He can. I'm not saying he cannot. He could. But that is, I think the Steelers are going to say, we're going to just make sure Henry doesn't run, and then just pass rush Tannehill. And I think they're going to create some problems for Tannehill, and that can create turnovers. I think the Steelers win, I think, by around 10 points.
Big win.
Yeah. I think my reasoning is because of the pass rushing. I don't see how Tennessee can contain the two pass rushers against those booking tackles. I think losing Luan was big for them because the right tackle right now he was okay. I'm not saying he was trash. He was okay. But now you're just bringing a guy that was benched to be your left tackle against Bud Dupree that last year had a great season, and this year has continued to have a good season. And on the other side, you still have T.J. Watt. Yeah, they lost Devin Bush, which is not great because in the middle linebacker position, you have to dominate, or you need those middle linebackers to be ready against that Henry. But still, if you can generate a pass rush, they're probably done. So I'm predicting Steelers go 6-0 to Baltimore.
Oh boy! All right, let me give you guys my thoughts on this game, and I won't even like draw this out. The Steelers are probably going to lose. I think the Steelers are going to lose this football game. Now, okay. I will say, the winner of this game. I don't know if you guys have seen this stat. It's been all over Twitter the last couple of days. The winner of this game goes to the Super Bowl, right? Because I think there's been like 7 times in NFL history that a 5-0 team has met another team of 5-0 or better, and every time the winner of that game goes to the Super Bowl. So congratulations, Titans. You might go to the Super Bowl this year. I do think the Steelers are gonna have a hard time this game. I think this is probably where they lose their first game of the year. This is Browns game 2.0, right? I mean, Quincy touched on this. The Tennessee Titans present all the same problems for this Steeler team, especially offensively, that the Browns did, but a little better, right? I mean, specifically, Ryan Tannehill right now is a much better quarterback than Baker Mayfield is. I know. Shocker. The Titans have the most efficient offense in the NFL right now. They're first in EPA. They're third in DVOA. It starts with Derrick Henry, and he's the only running back in football averaging over 100 yards per game. But some of that is just because he's the most used running back in the NFL. 24 carries.
It's coming. It's coming.
He had like 220 yards last week.
Derrick Henry is overrated, and we're waiting for it.
Oh, no. I'm not going there. All running backs are overrated. Don't get me wrong. All running backs are overrated.
Earl Thomas, Tony. You'll end up blocking your own guy.
No. We're not going there. Derrick Henry, might have a good game, and by that I mean he might have like 80 yards. Again, I think the Steeler defensive line is very good. I think they're very, very good. We saw that last week. It is a different animal tackling Derrick Henry, right? Because it's more than just being scheme sound. You know, there's a want to that it takes to bring down Derrick Henry. Because if you don't want to, well, we saw what happened, right? I mean, we've seen guys look very silly when they don't go 100% against Derrick Henry. The thing that scares me about this game is Ryan Tannehill. And it's weird to say that because Ryan Tannehill in Miami, we don't remember Ryan Tannehill as being this, you know, elite quarterback in the National Football League, but it's 2020 and weird things happen. And guess what? Ryan Tannehill is a top 5 quarterback. In fact, he might be like a top 3 quarterback at this point. He's been sacked just 5 times this year, the least of anyone with 100 or more attempts. He's played 16 games now. He started 16 games for the Titans. Here are his numbers in those 16 games for the Titans. 70% completion percentage, 9 yards per attempt, 4,100 yards, 35 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Number 1 in EPA of all quarterbacks, better than Patrick Mahomes in that same 16-game span. He is the best quarterback in the National Football League over the last 16 games. It's insane, but this is the world we live in. Here's the other thing that should worry Steeler fans. He's thrown 13 touchdowns, just 2 interceptions. This is a very opportunistic Steeler defense. But they also get pressure better than anyone in the National Football League. Ryan Tannehill, right now, the best quarterback under pressure. Of his 13 touchdowns, 7 of them came under pressure. Of those 2 interceptions, neither came under pressure. So, yes, this Steeler team probably will probably get to Ryan Tannehill, but can he find holes in the secondary? Look, the thing that we're all fooling ourselves, Steeler fans, is we believe that the problems we saw against Carson Wentz, the problems we saw in the first half against Deshaun Watson, are gone now. The Steeler secondary fixed itself last week. But as I said on Tuesday, I think that had a lot more to do with Baker Mayfield and the fact that Baker Mayfield had a very poor game and gave the Steelers an early lead in that game than the fact that secondary, you know, all of a sudden tightened up and there was no throwing lanes for Baker Mayfield. I don't believe that. And I don't believe that that'll be the case on Sunday. I still think the secondary has things to work on. And specifically, this defense has to work on how they're going to fill the shoes of Devin Bush, their middle linebacker who's out for the year now. Look, Spillane can be a good running back or a good linebacker in base, and he can help slow down Derrick Henry. But on play action, I like Devin Bush a lot more than I like Robert Spillane, especially considering that Devin Bush, even if he got his eyes caught in the backfield, he has that makeup speed to get back in coverage. Robert Spillane is not going to afford the same thing. He is going to have to be on his P's and Q's, or he will give up big plays in the middle of the field. You know, is it? And then the other question is, okay, the Steelers are probably going to want to stay in base, and that's going to mean that Spillane's going to be out there. But what do the Steelers want to do in more pass sets, in nickel or in dime? Is this a Ulysses Gilbert, a second-year guy who has not seen a single defensive snap in his entire career just yet? And these guys are going to have to guard Jonnu Smith, one of the best tight ends in football right now. Again, not great matchups for the Steelers. If I have Jonnu Smith on Robert Spillane, that's advantage Titans. It just is right now. Now, that you guys talk about Taylor Lewan, losing Taylor Lewan, it's a big loss. No doubt about it. And I think that it could be a key to this game in that the Steelers need to not just get pressure in this game, they have to get to Ryan Tannehill. They have to sack him in this game. This is not a game where he's under pressure all day and throwing as the pressure is getting there. They have to bring him down. They have to force him into fumbles, force him into mistakes. Because if they don't, as we've seen by the numbers, he's a very good quarterback under pressure. On the offensive side, look, this Titans pass rush has a lot of talented players. Jeffrey Simmons, Jadeveon Clowney, but they just don't get after the quarterback. And Ben should have all day to throw in this game. The Titans have 7 sacks on the season. The Steelers have a 40% pressure rate. The Titans have a 20% pressure rate. Okay, they're not getting up to the quarterback. And this the thing to watch for offensively in this game, Diontae Johnson. Coming back for the first time since week 2, we will see how he gets incorporated. He was the number one receiver for the Steelers through 2 weeks, 30% target share. But Chase Claypool has taken over this offense. So where do the targets go at that point? Another thing to watch out for, David DeCastro back in this game, but Mike Hilton, the Steelers nickel corner, likely won't play. That means Cam Sutton will have to fill in. It puts the Steelers in a bind and dime because Cam Sutton was their dime backer. You'd likely see Justin Lane come in those situations. Like I said, I like the Titans in this game. I like the Titans close. Like I said last week, I thought Browns Steelers was a close game, a field goal game. I gave it to the Steelers. Obviously, I was wrong. Baker Mayfield wasn't ready for that challenge. I think Ryan Tannehill is ready for this challenge. I'll say it's a field goal game again, but I'm going to give it to the Titans. And I think the one thing that I don't like for the Steelers in this game at all is they start slow. And if you start slow against this Titans team, I don't know that there's going to be enough firepower on the Steelers offense to continue to come back against a Titans offense that's going to be relentless moving the football. So that is how I see it. Quincy, do you have a final prediction now?
Yeah, I do. So I've listened to everybody.
Yeah.
Taking what everybody has said into account. And boy, the more you put up those Ryan Tannehill numbers, the worse I feel about the Titans' chances to win this game. Because I'm like, that has to come back to earth. Like, Ryan Tannehill is good. He's not that, like, he's not that good.
It's 16 games. I mean, when? I'm with you, but when?
In his defense, he didn't throw a touchdown last week, and he threw an interception. So he did kind of come back down to earth a little bit last week.
Nah. This is like a big old, like, hey, the 3-interception game is coming eventually for Ryan Tannehill. Like, it's got to. Because, like, first of all, the money I would have made in 2012, I would have told you Ryan Tannehill would be the best quarterback drafted in the first round that had RG3 and Andrew Luck in it, the dude who used to play wide receiver at Texas A&M. Hey, shout out to him. I'm happy for him. But I don't feel great about the Titans here. I want to go to Titans so bad. Like, I really do. Too. I want the Titans to win this one so bad. I'll be rooting for the Titans, but I can't help what I feel. And I see all these, like,
I love it.
I see all these fans like, hey, no, they can't stop Derrick Henry. Y'all didn't see Cam Hayward last week. Like, that was a man possessed. I think the Steelers are going to win by like 20 points here. I think
they win by 20. Listen, I'm unstoppable.
I think it's going to be real annoying going into this Steelers-Ravens game, and I might have to do something that I hate doing almost as much as I hate cheering for the Titans. Rooting for the Ravens over here, okay? Because I'm not buying a Dante Monk. I'm not buying a Steelers jersey of the choosing because I said the Steelers in no way would go 7-0. I can't do it. I'm already
betting. They heard 6-10, and they're not going to lose a game before they break that prediction.
Yeah, it's just it hurts, but you know, yeah, they're gonna win by big score here, and it's gonna be.
Really hope you're right. Horrible. Hope you're right. I don't like this defense against Tannehill though. I think they still have some things to clean up in the secondary. Ace, you were gonna say something.
So I had to look at like the MVP odds in Vegas for Ryan Tannehill just because of this amazing season that he's got going right now. No one has really talked about it, but at the beginning of the season, it was +$6,333. It actually has improved from that to $3,300 after the Titans remain undefeated.
That's still good odds. 30-1 is really good.
Yeah, dog, he's not winning MVP. No.
Yeah, I mean, 30-31 is good.
Stop.
MVP Tannehill on the way.
No, I don't know.
If y'all thought I was hating when Lamar won the MVP last year, oh, no. No. Ryan Tannehill is not winning.
Weird things. Weird things are happening this year.
No, he had Julio Jones. This dude's out here throwing the bombs. He out here. Corey Davis is not good.
No, AJ Brown is good.
And John, they're good, but like they ain't damn Julio Jones. They're not. They
got to make him look even better.
The best player on that team is the running back, and he's gonna win MVP.
Yeah,
Derrick Henry's the best player.
He's a better quarterback right now than Derrick Henry is a running back. That's the truth.
Oh no, Patrick Mahomes! You better Ryan Tannehill in a draft that had Andrew Luck and Russell Wilson is going to be the first guy in that draft class to win the MVP or get a vote. Is this the world we live in?
That's it. Yes.
No, he welcome to 2020. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, he never got a vote.
He's going to get some votes. Watch.
I think Wilson wins right now.
Reboot the machine. I'm done. Reboot the machine. It just dawned on me. He's an MVP, like a legitimate. He might win it.
Yeah, legitimate. Just think about it.
Let's not. I'm not trying to jinx Pat Mahomes, but let's just say, you know, week 12, Pat Mahomes goes down with an injury. You know, Russell Wilson goes down with an injury. Who's going to get the MVP? Ryan Tannehill is going to seize it and come and take it.
I'm going to look at the one bright side and be like, see, this is why we should give Baker Mayfield 8 years to develop.
Me personally, though, it's definitely, for me, you for never me know. Right now, I don't know about you guys, but for me right now, I think it is Russell Wilson.
It's Russ. Yeah, it's Russ right now.
Just so you guys know, don't think that I think that he has a chance against Russell.
Russell Wilson has never won the MVP. Just for that fact, if they're similar numbers, they're going
to
say...
If he loses to Tannehill, that's going to be insane.
Yeah.
That would be a very 2020 thing to happen, though.
That is true. Let's be real.
All right, let's move on here. We have one more game to talk about. It is the marquee matchup in the AFC North. It's a rematch. First rematch in the AFC North.
Oh, I got to get something out here. I'm so sorry. I watched Ryan Tannehill not know his playbook on Hard Knocks 6 years ago in his third year in the league.
Yeah, this guy
is about to win the MVP.
He's playing at MVP level.
This is one of the best quarterbacks. And I feel like I just got cryo froze out of 2012. And you're like, yo, this is what's up. Ryan Tannehill, he's really good. He's really good.
Yeah. Check it out.
Apparently, Miami had a super team. They won four games with and almost lost to the Browns. They almost lost to the 0-16 Browns because of Terrell Pryor. They had all these dudes. Adam Gase. If Ryan Tannehill gets a single vote for MVP this year, I'm sorry, Adam Gase should be banned from coaching any level. I don't want to see him there.
That is fair.
He is going to ruin whatever quarterback. How do you do this for 8 years? Well, not 8 years, 6 years. He just was like, yo, this guy's garbage. This guy's average. This guy is just a fake. Oh, my God. He was good this whole time. We thought he was a worse version of Alex Smith for 6 years in Miami. He got traded to compete with Marcus Mariota, who's the backup to Derek Carr right now. And this guy, I don't even want to know what they traded for him. It was probably nothing.
I think he's
put together the best 16 games out of any other quarterback in the NFL. He eliminated the Baltimore Ravens from the playoff. He almost went to the Super Bowl last year, and he's still doing it. What?
Right. 2020. What if he wins the Super Bowl? Is he a Hall of Famer?
I'm broken. They put Eli in for
Trent
winning
Dilfer.
Two.
I mean, he's better than Trent Dilfer.
They put Eli in for winning two. Like, let's be honest about Eli's Hall of Fame.
They haven't put Eli in yet, but they will.
Yeah, they're going to put him in. Let's be honest about Eli's Hall of Fame. Eli's in there because he threw a terrible pass that David Tyree bailed out in the Super Bowl. Yeah. And that's going to always put him in the Hall of Fame. And by the way, Eli Manning, he's going to get a lot of sorry quarterbacks in there Matt Ryan, he gonna get in because of Eli. Cause like Eli was not better than Matt Ryan. They gonna put Ben in because of Eli. And Eli,
Ben is gonna be in because he's gonna win his third Super Bowl this year. But yeah.
Oh no. I'd rather have Ryan Tannehill just be cover of Madden and be the Lamar Jackson of 2020. I want to see people talk. Like, you know, Ryan Tannehill changed the league. You know, they said Lamar should have played wide receiver. This guy did play wide receiver. See, Lamar didn't commit enough.
All right. Well,
this is what Sam Darnold's ruined because he is with
Sam Darnold, the next great quarterback in the league. It's confirmed at this point. It's just a matter of how soon he can get out of Adam Gase's system.
Five years from now. Anyway, let's go to the marquee matchup.
We do have to get to our marquee matchup. We have the Bengals playing the Browns. This time it's in Cleveland. It's a rematch of a Week 2 game on Thursday night. The Browns won that game 35-30. So let's start there, Quincy. There it is for you, Quincy. Let's start with Quincy. Quincy, how do you see Bengals Browns playing out?
All right, I'm back.
You needed Bengals, to give the guy a minute.
y'all mess with me. Y'all want to see me explode here.
You just did, but
I'm broken. This year has broken me. I'm broken. And it ain't even over yet. So with the Browns versus the Bengals this week, it's kind of a deja vu situation. The 2020 wasn't weird enough. This is a deja vu situation. Browns lose to Pittsburgh in almost an identical score to what they lost to Baltimore in, but this time with more embarrassment, right? That was just more embarrassing than what Baltimore did by far. That's saying something. Shout out to Pittsburgh. That's why they're going to win this week. They kind of got to. All right, man, I'm in a weird situation with all these teams. All right, so the Browns are coming off an embarrassment. They're going to be coming on the road this time to play Cincinnati. Cincinnati is also in a very similar situation where they played a team tough but made some mistakes down the stretch. So they have a game that they should feel all right about, but they really don't feel good about this time. They just have a little bit more team dysfunction going on. It seemed like people ain't getting along in the locker room. So both teams are kind of in the same spot, but the stakes are much more dire because if the Browns lose this game, oh, it's going to spiral out of control. You think people are going crazy with all the Baker Mayfield needs to be bench narratives and the Odell wants to be traded things? Let the Browns go from 4-1 to 4-3 within a snap of an eye with a losing division record, and you lost all three of your division road games. Yeah, people are going to start to freak out here, and that's when bad things start to happen in Cleveland. And then if Cincy like gets beat in any kind of convincing fashion here, they're already on like the precipice of a coup going on in that locker room. It feels like a beat down by Cleveland. That'd do it. That's what got everybody fired last time. Right. That's what got Marvin fired. Wasn't that he lost to the Browns. It's that Baker Mayfield was allowed to just run backwards and just disrespect you like that. And they ain't about to have that. So a beat down by the Browns. It's kind of like when the Browns fire everybody after losing to Pittsburgh. That's kind of the Bengals version of like, dog, we ain't about to take this. So this has dire like stakes here for two teams with not similar records. But I think the Browns are going to be in a better position to win this game. Now, which Browns team is going to show up? That's the question. That's been the question all year. I thought we solved this, but then Pittsburgh brought that right back into the prefaces. One thing that Tony did mention that I do agree with the Steelers defense is not like they clamped down the pass game. Baker Mayfield was just timid. He had tons of plays he could have made. He just did not let it rip like he used to let it rip, especially down the seam. Like Rashard Higgins, he had one that I knew a year or two ago. He would have ripped down there for 40 yards, and it would have been a great play, would have moved him along in the first quarter. Baker wasn't ripping like he used to. He needs to get back in there. He needs to stop worrying about getting hit. I know he's injured, but he needs to stop worrying about getting hit. He needs to stop worrying about throwing the interceptions. He needs to stop worrying about all the turnovers. He just needs to play ball, because I think if he just plays ball, he's going to be a much better quarterback. Kevin Stefanski also needs to put him in situations where he doesn't have to struggle to find his passing lane. He doesn't have to be in the pocket all the time, because that's also where Baker Mayfield struggles to see the field. And that's Baker Mayfield's biggest issue. A lot of people say he can't read defenses. I think he can read defenses all right. The play against Minka was terrible. I think he just thought he got a gift from Mike Tomlin and just went with it. And that was very stupid. Mike Tomlin would never give you two man on 3rd-and-3. So you got the middle open. He should have known that was a trap, but that's a bad mistake. I can't even call that like a young quarterback mistake. That's just terrible any year you're in. But his issue is that he doesn't see the field well. And he needs to just get more comfortable out there and just let it rip and stop being worried about making mistakes, because it looks like a lot of that 2019 being worried about throwing too many interceptions, being worried about making too many plays is still in his head, and it doesn't need to. He's a good enough quarterback to make some of these plays. I don't know why he just doesn't let it rip. But that being said, with Cincinnati, the only way I see Cincinnati beating the Browns and putting enough points up to beat the Browns is if they can go over top, and they have two things working against them in that front. The Browns are going to be able to get a pass rush against that offensive line. That offensive line has not really stood up to any pass rushes throughout the season. So I don't know if Joe Burrow is going to have enough time. And also, even if he does, can Joe Burrow connect? He's one of the worst deep ball throwers in the NFL right now. I think he only has two deep ball completions, one touchdown, one interception. It's like 2 out of 28 or something like that. It's abysmal numbers for him. So even if he does get the time, can he connect? And if he doesn't get the time, he rushes a deep ball and he's getting pressured. That looks like a turnover to me. So I think all those things go in favor of the Browns. The question is, can the Browns run the ball? Because that'll get the offense going. I think they will. They're not playing DeForest Buckner this week. They're not playing whatever Pittsburgh had inside that was just an absolute solid cinder block of just grown men that just bullied the Browns last week. They don't have that. So the Browns should be able to get inside here and make some plays, even with their backup guard, even with their technically backup running back in Kareem Hunt. And I think the Browns, if they show up, should win. But we all know with the Browns, it's not a guarantee. But I think they should win. And if they show up like I know they can, they should win by a decent margin. But I ain't dependent on that.
Ace, what about you? How do you see this game between the Browns and Bengals playing out?
So just took a look at the practice report to see what was going on, because me and Quincy did a preview earlier. And at that point, the Bengals had not practiced. And when I talked about that, I think people are overlooking the fact that Joe Mixon may not play in this game. He did not practice 2 days in a row. It could be a precaution. He's got a foot injury. He's been hurt the last two games. And then William Jackson is in concussion protocol. You know, players can miss a game because of that. We saw that with Logan Wilson so far this season. I mean, there's no guarantee that he's going to get cleared. And then even if he does get cleared, he's going against Odell Beckham Jr., who obviously took him to school the last time that they played. Those two guys not being in this game is going to be huge for the Bengals, especially with Joe Mixon not being able to establish that run. You got Giovanni Bernard there, but he's no Joe Mixon. And then at corner, you've got Darius Phillips and you got LaShawn Sims. And if LaShawn Sims is on anyone like Jarvis Landry or anybody in that game, it's barbecue chicken. And so that does not make me feel like I'm going to sit up here and lie to you guys and say that the Bengals are just going to come out there and beat the Browns. I can't say that. I'd be doing you guys a disservice to say that they're going to be able to do that with William Jackson and Joe Mixon, those guys being key elements of this team, are just going to be able to take it to them. The other thing is, Quincy, do the Browns blitz that much? Because if anybody blitzes, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know what? That doesn't matter. Because the Colts, we talked about them not blitzing, right? When the game was on the line, what did the Colts do on every single play? They blitzed. And you saw what happened when Joe Burrow threw the interception. So if the Browns are smart enough to really turn that Ravens tape on, which I think every other defense is going to do, I think they'll realize if you throw this blitz at the Bengals, it's going to be tough for them. Now, we do have some offensive weapons. We do have Joe Burrow, who's a rookie, who's coming back. We can make this a competitive game. But if we're unable to stop this Browns offense, then we could be in for a tough day. I mean, the only way that we're going to be able to be in this game and have a chance of winning is if Baker Mayfield just gives us the game. Like, he has to give us two or three turnovers or something like that for us to have a chance to win this one. Because without having Joe Mixon, I feel like we're going to be a one-dimensional offense, which is going to make it easier for defenses to guard us. And based off of what we saw last week, that was somewhat positive, like especially with them coming out that way. But with everything going on, this is, in a sense, a must-win. I think the last 3 weeks have been must-wins for the Bengals. I mean, if we're just being real here. But if this game is not a victory, I think you definitely – and if Quincy says if this is a blowout or something like that, Zach Taylor is out of there. Like, it may be a wrap, just because Mike Brown does not like losing to the Browns because of the history there. But I still probably had the Browns winning this game. I do have the Browns winning this game. I think it may be competitive – or something like that, but with Joe Mixon out, with William Jackson potentially out, yeah, that's a tough one for me to say that we're going to be able to beat the Browns, especially with them coming off of a game similar to in week two. Was a game that they needed to kind of shut up the media and bounce back as a team. So with that being said, I got to go with the Browns, unfortunately. Can't believe this. This is going to be a long season.
Ace, knowing how you feel about Zach Taylor, shouldn't you be rooting for a Browns, like, beatdown
here? I mean.
Because you know that happened. It looked like
if you could say press this button and get blown out by the Browns and guarantee Zach Taylor getting fired, then, I would do that. I would do that. The Steelers game I'm not going to watch. Don't ask me that week. I'm not watching it.
That's in a couple weeks. We got like a month until that game. It's coming up. All right, Sonny. Man. Sonny, how do you feel about Bengals-Browns 2.0?
Okay, I'm going to try to make this short because I know we're coming up to an hour. The Bengals faced the Browns. The Bengals with a very strong performance, right? Hopeful. New system, that new quarterback, right?
Oh, we may be losing Sonny here.
There it is.
This is that. Yep.
I think he said, what's that, Sonny? Bengals win? Bengals over the Browns. Okay.
Bengals by 50? I think that's Bengals by 50.
Am I here? Right. Am I gone?
Yeah, you're coming back. You're coming back. Yeah, yeah. We were talking about how the Bengals are going to win by 50, okay. And that's where we cut you off.
No. I'll make this shit, like I said. My biggest problem is I think the Bengals right now are done, meaning that the locker room is done. I don't see what do they have to fight for versus the Browns right now at 4-2. If they lose against the Bengals, not only 4-3, that playoff-wise, you're still competitive, but your three losses are against AFC, which is horrible for tiebreakers, right? So I think this is a game that the Browns need to win to keep – and I think they should to keep their hopes alive for the playoffs, which, again, I picked them to go to the playoffs, and I still think they will make the playoffs. So if you think about just matchup-wise, there's nowhere matchup that I can see that the Bengals have the edge over the Browns, right? Because even for – I know a lot of people say, well, quarterback. Well, no, because Baker Mayfield is 3 years in the league. Does he make mistakes? Sure. But so does Joe Burrow, right? At this point, Joe Burrow, I love what I see from Joe Burrow, but again, he's still making mistakes. He's growing up into the role. And Joe Burrow doesn't have the offensive line to help him, to protect him, so he can make the plays that he can be capable of. So if I watch across the board on defense, on D-line, offensive line, quarterback, running back, all receivers, the receivers for the Bengals, I like them, but with no time for Bro to just lay a play develop, there's not a lot of chance. So I think this is a game that the Browns should establish their will and should try to win big so they can get some of that mojo back for the next week game. So I think the Browns, like I said, I'm trying to keep this one short because we're coming up the hour. I think this is a Browns win. I think this should be by at least 2 touchdowns.
I'll tell you, when I look at this game, I think this is like this is like a therapy session more than a game, right? You kind of just want to let both these teams like work their stuff out, like give them a big hug and let them cry it out. Because like, you know, for the Bengals right now, like they got this discord in the locker room, like they're coming apart at the seams. They hate their coach, right? You know, they're in every game this year except one. Are they're like this close to actually winning football games and being a contender, and they're like, no, we want out. And then you look at the Browns locker room right now, and it's like Baker Mayfield saying like, you know, 4-2 now. It feels like 0-6, and Odell's I'm tired of losing to the Steelers all the time. So, Odell, you just got there. You got quite more.
Wait. To go. They went 1-1 last year against the Steelers, didn't they? They
split. Right. They split. He did. He's the second loss of it.
Yeah. Stop. No,
yeah, Odell, listen, that's what I'm saying. Like, these guys everybody's got to chill in these teams. I kind of just want these teams to, you know, meet at midfield before the game and just, like, talk out their problems first, because I have no idea what's going to happen in this football game, right? I mean, again, you're talking about a Bengals team that have they turned on their coach? You know, you would have thought, like Ace was saying on Tuesday's show, you know, have they turned their coach? No, because, you know, they just had a very competitive game against the Colts. They nearly beat the Colts. They were 21 on the Colts. So they could easily come out in this game and look good again. I mean, I know that no Joe Mixon is going to make a big difference on that offense for sure. But then you have a Browns team where did that loss to the Steelers, was that, you know, did that light a fire under the team and say, hey, you know, we got to be better? Or Did that show some sort of discontent on the team and whatnot? I don't know. I don't know what to think. I'm just gonna go with you know the obvious choice here, Browns by a touchdown. But if the Bengals came out of this game with a win, wouldn't surprise me. If the Bengals got blown out in this game, well, that wouldn't surprise me either. I think both these teams are headed in weird directions right now. I think we'll have a much better sense of where these teams are headed after the game finishes than today, because you know, weird stuff coming out of both locker rooms. Go ahead, Quincy.
Yeah, so I just wanted to give Browns fans some much needed perspective and a reason to feel good about where we're at, because I feel like we're way too down for a team that's 4-2. Not that there aren't things to be critical about. There definitely are. It's not the greatest 4-2 in the world, but you know, let's chill a little bit, because here are the 4-win teams in 2019. Buffalo. Yeah, I would have killed to have their season last year. Baltimore. They turned out to be a pretty good team. They were 4-2 at this point. They lost to us by a lot at home. Seemed to be fine afterward. Earl Thomas and Brandon Williams getting a fight. Oh, my God. Are they falling apart? Nah, they were fine. They were fine. They did not lose a game after that loss. Houston. All right, you know, don't really want to be Houston, but they made the playoffs. Minnesota went deep 2 games in it. That's exactly what the Browns' goal is, right? Win a playoff game, you know.
Yeah, Minnesota and Cleveland actually have a lot of similarities, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Stefanski's there, a lot of things in similar. New Orleans, hey, you know, good season last year. Those are all the 4-2 teams. And then there's Carolina. Browns fans, y'all trying to pull a Carolina with this Case Keenum thing and lose, like, all these games at the end because y'all want to like pull Case Keenum in there. Let's not be Carolina. We're in position to be all these other teams that had good seasons that you would want to have. So let's just go in there, relax, breathe a little bit, and beat the holy bleep out of Cincinnati. And then we good, baby. We feeling good. You go, you play Las Vegas at home, West Coast team coming home. You play good. Becker plays good at home. Now you feeling decent. All right, you get to the bye week 6-2. Everybody shut up, have a beer, and then let week 15 and 17 happen when they happen and get demolished by the Titans. And, you know, you'll have a good record at least, you know? So let's
not relax. Not to be a hater here. I kind of would, though, just from like an experiment standpoint, like to see what happens if the Browns were to lose this game at 4-3 and how hard do they push the panic button, right? Because like it's not, if they lose to the Bengals, it's bad, very bad. But not the end of the world. But I think might actually bench Baker at that point. If they go 4-3, then I think they might actually bench Baker at that point and then hit the panic button too hard. And I think that ruins their season.
I don't think Kevin Stefanski. I have faith that Kevin Stefanski's not going to do it. If this was Freddie Kitchens, yeah, he would do it.
Oh yeah, they would. No, that's hesitation. It's a Browns thing to happen. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but Kevin Stefanski, he's not really like. He doesn't give me that vibe. I know that vibe when a guy's about to panic on the quarterback. Mike Patton did it. Yeah, and he doesn't give me that vibe, but the fan base will. Oh, the fan base will be insufferable. And they play a home game after that. Baker's going to get booed the loudest you ever seen 12,000 people boo somebody if they go into that game 4-3. And that's going to get to Baker. Baker lets that stuff affect them too much. And he's going to throw 4 interceptions. And we're going to go 8-8. And I'm going to be sad. All right.
So what we're saying is for science here, we need the Bengals to win this game.
Just
to see what would happen. Just to see. It's for science. Again, we just want to know. It's an experiment.
For Quincy's mental health, we need the Bengals to lose by a lot. We need it. We need it. Y'all need to take that L for us. For me. For us.
You know what? If the Bengals do end up winning this game, hopefully the Steelers shut down Tannehill, and at least you have some normalcy in your life, right? At least you can have that normalcy. Ryan Tannehill coming back down to earth. We'll see what happens on Sunday. Two big matchups in the AFC, as we said. The marquee matchup between the Browns and Bengals and my Steelers take on the Tennessee Titans. That'll do it here for us here on AFC North Talk. Thank you to everyone who's watched live. You can also find this in podcast form. Go on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts. Search AFC North Talk. You can find the audio version of this there. You can also find us here on YouTube live, 5:45 p.m. Eastern time on both Tuesdays and Thursdays. Before we go, Ace, let people know where they can find your work.
You can find me at New Stripe City. Also AFC North Talk, both on YouTube. You can also find me in hoping that Zach Taylor is going to get canned. I mean, that's where you can find me at, hoping that that's going to happen. You're going to see me on YouTube, probably putting up a whole bunch of videos about let's get Zach Taylor out of there, coaching options, even though it's only week 7.
Ace, my favorite thing.
You're going to get a lot of that.
Ace, my favorite thing this week is you're already vetting future candidates. Right? We're already going through like Jim Harbaugh with Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I saw that.
I like it. Sonny, what about you? Where can people find your work?
SCG Sports everywhere, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, IG. Also, AFC Talk, North Talk on Tuesdays and Thursday, 5:45 Eastern with this group of guys. And you know, next Thursday is going to be hot when I face Tony. And this week, we'll see if we're going to have a set with Quincy on Tuesday or not. And I think, well, Tony's contended. They're going to take an L. So we'll see with that. Anyway, make sure you hit that like button, guys.
She can't win them all, but they won't. Quincy, let people know they can find your work.
Yeah, YouTube.com/QuincyCarrier. Also on Twitter at Quincy. You can also find me buying AJ Green a edible arrangement, hoping that he plays exactly like he did against the Baltimore Ravens and just lets us get a free interception. That's what I'm hoping for AJ Green. Shout out to AJ Green. Look, AJ, you won't even play well against the Browns. You don't have a reputation against the Browns. You might as well.
What's that picture back there? No reputation.
Five people
for a touchdown. What?
All right, here's the thing though. If the numbers on the jersey is orange, it don't count. I don't count anything that happened in them jerseys. That didn't happen. That's non-canonical. It didn't happen in Cleveland Browns history. Those jerseys never existed. You know, if it happened in the classics, I want to hear it. And the last time AJ Green was AJ Green and he played the Browns in the classic, Joe Hayden held him to no stats. And I almost got in a fight with the dude from Cincinnati in my dorm room because he did not like how I was disrespecting AJ Green that entire game. All right. That's all I remember about AJ Green. Anything that happened in them jerseys, I got amnesia. I don't remember it. Deshaun who? Deshaun Kaiser? Who's that? I only know Deshaun Watson. But yeah, right. That's where you can find me.
All right, you guys can find me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can also find me on Locked On Steelers, the daily podcast hosted by my friend Christopher Carter. I'm on there every Tuesday, although once again this week I am on Wednesday. So I was on yesterday's show. And then you can, of course, find me here, AFC North Talk. Subscribe to the show. You'll be notified every time we go live. Again, 5:45 p.m. Eastern time, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Hit the notification, and you will be notified when we go live. We'll be back in your ears on Tuesday to recap week 7 in the AFC North. Talk to you then.